all of the tabs open because that's how we're going to do our news show today.
Well, as long as we both don't.
Right. That's true. I mean, because I'm going to be the one showing them. Although I realized I didn't even turn on the showing thing. I mean, what the heck kind of episode are we running around here, Carrie?
I don't know. Are we?
Yes. What are we doing? Mostly you.
I don't know. I was out for 2 weeks and you're like, do we have any guests? I'm like, no.
No, but didn't you book any? I'm not booking guests.
What I mean, I have now, but.
Well, I have the two audience members that I care the most about. That's all I need. And Jacob from yesterday.
Jacob, I love him. I went and subscribed to Jacob
on YouTube. I subscribed there and also on his Twitch. So.
Oh, I have to go find Twitch.
Yep. So I watched a little bit of a Minecraft run that wasn't going so well, but I wouldn't have done any better because I'm really bad at jumping puzzles. But hey, we're going to do a different kind of backpack show today. We're not going to have guests. We're going to read the news. So I hope you're here for it. Hey, Chloe. I mean, our news, like we found the news. It's not like just other
like
random
regular news.
Yeah, it's not like regular news. Maybe it'll even be a traffic copter. Okay, the traffic right over my house right now is just kind of nothing.
There's a surprising amount of traffic in Nashville, actually. You would think the pandemic was like officially over and possibly never happened. People are just, there's not a mass to be seen downtown. The streets are thick with people. And that's why I don't go nowhere.
What's the weather like over there?
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcoming you to The Backpack Show. Your host, Chris Brogan, Kerry Gorgone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
Boom Shakalaka.
You know, it's hard not to be super excitable when you do that, but Tim Kitzer, voice of the Backpack Show. Hey, so we're going to do news today, like real news. So this one you shared, this is on a BBC article called The Harmful Ableist Language That You Unknowingly Use.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think a lot of times we'll use phrases and we don't know the origin of them and that it's like semi-offensive. Like if you say rule of thumb, there used to be a law that you couldn't beat your wife with a stick that was any wider than your thumb.
And oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So when you say rule of thumb, it's like this super sexist thing. And most people have no idea. So it's like semi-horrifying. And it turns out there's a lot of ableist stuff as well. Like they're saying our pleas have fallen on deaf ears. I remember going to a job interview once and I couldn't find the place. It was in Providence, Rhode Island. And it was like a big mess. And this is so long ago that I didn't have like maps on my phone and all that. So they sent someone to get me. And when I came in, the guy said, well, listen, I was going to offer you the job if you had two arms and two legs. And I was like, this is a law job. It doesn't even matter if I have two arms and two legs. It was like,
that's right.
Yeah.
Hi, I mean, Leslie. Trampoline artist, maybe, but.
Yeah. Oh,
so
bad.
Some of these ableist things that we have to learn to not say anymore are things like turning a blind eye or calling your boss psychopathic.
Or people saying like, I have OCD. Have you heard people say that when they really don't?
Yes.
Like what they mean is I like things clean.
Right. You
know, or whatever.
Right. My going joke with that is that I have a mix of OCD and ADD. So I keep forgetting what I'm really into, but
words have consequences, says your biological father.
That's very true. And so these are hard though. And I'm not saying that like some weird defense, but I'm saying that it is really hard to strip all this language from you. And I know that a lot of times what happens with people is that they get the defensive bug going and they start saying, oh, well, that's just silly. Everybody gets upset about everything these days.
It's not, though. It's
not that way.
No, because you have to think about the culture out of which some of those things sprang. Like, there's also racist stuff, like, that's mighty white of you, or you ain't just whistling Dixie. And you can't just say those things now and pretend that they didn't spring out of some really racist, inappropriate culture that was going on at the time.
Right.
One fell swoop.
I guess my dad saw the Nate Bargatze special. So, so yeah, with the ableist thing, I mean, I always tell people it's hard to explain how when we grew up, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, that words like retarded and gay were what you called all your friends all the time. And now both of those are off the table and should be. And it's just, you know, the R word is terrible. Gay, you know, if your friend is gay, that's swell, but it's not a word you use when you're just upset about how bad your friend plays a video game.
I loved the Brady Bunch movies in the second one where Carol Brady, they play it totally straight. And she's like, I wish I could be gay again. And I would too, if I were back with Jan and Marsha. Like she's making it. And of course they're making it like a dirty joke, but gay had meaning like before it had any kind of other connotation. So yeah, words have meanings. and we should pay attention to them.
Do.
I don't know that that's like news, but it is to some people.
You shared it. I'll take it.
So if you came looking for guests, we have some every other day this week. We just don't today.
And we have some tonight, don't we? We have a backpack show after dark tonight. When?
We do at 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be talking to Sonia Renee Taylor, author of the book, The Body Is Not an Apology.
That is going to be so good. She's awesome.
There's also a workbook that goes with it. Check it out.
Oh.
So it's a book that you should publish books with workbooks.
Your body is, what's it saying now?
Your body is not an apology, but this is the workbook.
Got it. Okay.
So it actually walks you through, like, draw yourself into a perfect day with absolutely no media. It leaves you like space to do your stuff. It's really cool.
Perfect day with no media. Snorkeling. That'd be my answer. Or canoeing, but I love snorkeling. Chip says the problem is that some things are obvious, but in many cases, folks don't know the etymology of words or phrases. Well, I can't believe how many people say stuff like, oh, you gypped me. And I'm like, yeah. You know, that relates to gypsy culture, which is now called travelers or Roma. And there's so many other words that go into that. And I've legit heard one time somebody said I was able to Jew them down. Oof. And not think it was racist. Let me help you with that one. But let's move on from that story. We got a bunch more to cover. And one of them is from Google. It's basically in Europe, at least, I think it was. Or was this in the States? Supreme Court says that APIs are copyable, meaning there was a big copyright claim from Oracle saying that when Google decided that they were going to put Java on their phones, Google said, well, you know, we'll just do it the way Sun does it, because why would we recreate the wheel? Sun invented Java. We'll just use the API that's out there, meaning the programmer's interface that anybody could use. It was available. Yeah. So Google just copied, pasted it and said, here we go. Now we're using Java.
And they've changed, obviously, like quite a bit since then. But
yeah. So, but Oracle was pretty sure they were going to get billions of dollars. Okay, it was in the U.S.
Well, it wasn't even just them. It was like a bunch of people were teed up to bring suit as soon as this one resolved.
But even Microsoft agreed with Google and a whole bunch of other people. And it's just the court system said, no, this is silly. So,
yeah. Well, in this case, like they're not saying never, like they're not saying an API could never be copyrightable, but they're saying in this instance, it wasn't. And so there's all these people that literally had papers ready to file their own lawsuits. And now they're like, well, shit, forget it. Never mind.
Yeah. Hey, Carl. Hello.
So that's what was so interesting to me. You had like a virtual cottage industry of lawyers ready just to sue over that. And now they're like, got to go find something else to do because it didn't work. Yeah.
It's terrible.
So it's interesting. I think it's great, actually. Well, see, I think copyright needs to be reformed. And I've thought this for a long, long time. It is absurd how it's kind of grown. It's so expensive to defend yourself from a copyright lawsuit that the fair use doctrine and like all like the universe of stuff you can use has just gotten smaller and smaller. Not because copyright law is necessarily stricter, but because people aren't enforcing their rights because it's too costly.
If only we could have ever interviewed like the most famous copyright lawyer in the world.
We did. Lawrence Lessig.
Yeah. One of the earliest Backpack Show episodes is
now
Lawrence Lessig.
He's actually, so he's a Harvard professor and an activist from way back who said for a long time, we need to reform copyright, but also he's now taken on the electoral system. So he's thinking you can't really fix copyright until you fix first the political system that spawned the craziness. So that's what he's looking at now, basically to get everybody the ability to vote and have their vote counted, like just everybody, because that is how it should be, instead of all these like games and machinations to disenfranchise certain groups of people. So anyway, that's what Lawrence Lessig is doing now. And he's got several books on the subject. Go check that out. When is common domain not common? Oh, no.
Right. No, it's a good question.
IP law in the tech space is very messy. IP law everywhere.
Yeah, patent trolls are a creature.
Oh, there are. There was a guy. So if you've ever used a red Solo cup, they have a patent number stamped on them. And patents expire, as you may or may not know, but they do. And you're not supposed to keep stamping the patent number on the product after the patent's expired. So there is a guy, and probably more than one, but who does nothing except find products that continue to stamp that patent number on. And then he files suit on behalf of the government, because you can do that. And he gets a cut. And he just does that over and over and over. And collects
just for a bag of money.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, fine. So I guess you don't want people stamping patents on products that are no longer under patent, because that means people who otherwise could like produce their own versions feel like they can't. So I get it. But at the same time, the government's like, we're not going to bother. But if you want to, that's cool. We'll give you a cut. So you have all these trolls. That's all they do. It's like professional trolls.
You can't tell that Carrie's super interested in things like copyright and patent law.
Shut up. Hey, whatever. It affects you too.
No, it's a great thing. I think it's super important. I'm just noting a different level of energy when we talk about things like patent law. And I think it's interesting. It's exciting. Next news story I have up for you is that some people maybe do or don't know this, but during the pandemic, a lot of people suddenly couldn't afford to go to their actual therapists. Mm-hmm. True story. And what ended up happening a lot was that people would find something very soothing for themselves to replace their therapist, at least to kind of, you know, bridge the gap. And so, for instance, people started learning how to bake again. People started learning all these old traditions like crochet and things like this. Well, in other words, they played soothing video games. And one was Nintendo's Animal Crossing, which had a massive sales volume, incredible sales volume. But now, here we go. Good news for you. Now Build-A-Bear Workshop has Animal Crossing toys.
So Chris Brogan bringing you the hard-hitting news.
This is important. You can buy your Animal Crossing characters at Build-A-Bear now. Today is the day they go live. So if you're an Animal Crossing person, if you're replaced your therapist with a video game person, or if you just like stuffed animals, you could go to Build-A-Bear Workshop and make yourself an Animal Crossing character. I wonder, probably this is true. You could probably build them online now. You don't have to go in the store and like nozzle stuff.
Do they put like a little heart in them like they do with the regular bears? Like,
I think so. I mean, so it would be creepy. Weird for them to have
like they need
bears.
More organs than that, you guys. That doesn't
just
work.
Hearts.
Yeah, like you just put a little heart in there with a bunch of fluff. Chris Brogan is the new Walter Cronkite.
I always wanted to be Tom Brokaw. And
oh my God, he has the best faces.
He can make some really interesting. He always sounded a little bit like he was bouncing down a flight of stairs while he was talking too. So
I loved when he just didn't buy something. He had a look on his face. He would be like, "I'll say the words," but like he knew he didn't believe it. I thought it was so good. Like, there's a man who knows his job. Like, I'm gonna read it, but
Dan Rather just had a really great 4-year run of commentary. He quit the news and now he's a Twitter commentator. And some of his stuff is just really blown up. It's big stuff. But speaking of people that I admire, Will.i.am in the news. Will.i.am in the news. So
you're making the bro coffees.
Yeah, I am. Is this the future of face masks? So Will.i.am teamed with I forget who and made it. How much does this thing cost?
$300. Well, like $299.
Would you buy basically the Beats by Dre of face masks for $299?
I mean, I might have a year ago. You know what I mean? Now feels like the wrong time for this.
And like I was like looking this over because at first I thought this like went all the way down my neck, but nope, that's his bare skin right there. So this is literally like the same shape as like a typical N95 mask with some extra buttons on it and stuff.
I have questions though. Like, that has a lot of electronic components and stuff. So obviously it's not disposable, but like, how do you take care of it in between? Because you're supposed to treat your mask as kind of functionally contaminated when you come in from the outside. So what do you do with that thing?
If it's $300, Apple will have equivalent $599.
It's really true.
It's not untrue. But Will.i.am wandering around sprinkling his smart people dust all over yet another
But
company.
Really, though, like, now vaccinations are on the upswing. Biden has just said he's moving the deadline up for states to make it available to everyone to April 19th instead of May 1st. Like, it should be available to everyone. So who's going to drop $300 on a mask right now? Because everybody's about to be, theoretically, everybody who wants to be, is about to be vaccinated. So it feels like the timing is off, I guess. Sort of like, do you remember that one that looked like an egg? Did you see that one? It looked like a big jerk helmet. Like, it came out a little earlier. It was the same. It was about $300. A big plastic dome.
Oh, okay.
That you would put around your head with like, had like a sealed neck thing. You're creating like a little biome for yourself. And you walked around with like a big helmet on. And your face is on full display so everyone can see exactly who the jerk in the $300 helmet is. That was also $300.
On the one hand, there's a couple of things that are cool about that. People who are hearing impaired, yes. They can see the lips moving.
That's true.
People like, you know, my son Harold really hates stuff touching his face, so that would be useful, I guess. But it's crazy. Yeah, but
it's also massive. I mean,
we giant fishbowl.
It.
Right.
It really was. It was the guy who tested it. The journalist who tested it called it a douche helmet. And he felt like the biggest jerk wearing
it. I can see it. I can see it for sure.
It's super funny.
Please do.
I Please will, because you need more right. tabs open.
Yeah, I was thinking, can I pause? We tell every guest, you know, close all your tabs. The last thing you'd want is a lot of tabs. You should see my screen right
do
now.
Do as I say, not as I do.
That's my code.
Well, that's what I say all the time, because I'll lecture about law and be like, don't use memes and GIFs and stuff for branded things. But I'm like, I do it for myself.
Oh my gosh, you're like the meme queen.
I know. For personal.
So there's a helmet coming at some point.
No, there it is. There it is. Look at it. He's making the Tom Brokaw face.
But... You know, I would really like advertisements to stop this half of the above the fold.
The X.
Well, there's no X yet. That's what I'm saying.
So the guy wore that out to test it for the... He got the newspaper to pay for it if he could wear it out. And it was really big and noticeable. But when he wore it out, it was like the day after the Capitol riots. So people were like, same shit, different day. Like they were kind of desensitized. And so they didn't stare the way they might have otherwise, but they did notice.
But now it is important to pay attention to technology like this because you just never know. I mean, spaceship helmets aren't cheap, you know?
Chip says, I've discovered my mask causes problems because without seeing my smile, my sense of humor sometimes misses the mark when I'm out and about. I can't believe that.
I can totally. I mean, that's crazy to think about. What's Carl say?
It is. I think most of us have bought as many fashionable or branded masks as we are going to buy. It's just wash and repeat now. You know, I've discovered the really good disposable ones with the Korean filter in them, and they fit really well. Like they don't sit too close to your face. So those are kind of like my go-to disposable ones now. And I've got everybody who sees them or tries one. They come in their own individually wrapped packages. It's great. So that's kind of my thing. I'm not going to spend $300 on like something I got to take home and sanitize. I got enough problems.
But how do they filter Koreans?
Ah, stop it, you racist. No, right. Let's talk about racism. Multiple layers of stuff.
Okay. Kimchi. I got it. See, look, another one of these things where the whole top half of the screen is going to eat my ability to show you the ad.
Okay, fussy.
Blow. Vice magazine reports that you should all watch a film called Coded Bias. It is about artificial intelligence, and it's the most important film you should watch about it. It's a documentary. And what it's talking about, basically, it's called Coded Bias, is about the fact that even when we build things like artificial intelligence, which tries to say that it's non-biased and that it's very objective and all that, that there's tons of subjectivity inside of AI. And so that means that if we're using predictive systems, facial recognition, who gets which loans, that sort of a thing, you're in trouble. So this is worth checking out, they're saying. So it says here, the film follows Joy Bola-Mawini, a computer scientist and founder of the Algorithmic Justice League, which is probably why we're seeing ads for Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what? I just realized that Jacob probably thinks this is that the show is like this all the time, that we just do like whatever we
wing
want
it.
All the time. And we actually have guests, Jacob.
We do real ones.
Usually like 99% of the time. Yeah. We just don't today.
Yep. So sorry, Jacob. So that's true.
Christopher Penn has talked a lot about that, actually, the inherent bias, because people have biases and they program the AI. And if it's a learning AI, it picks up biases from the people who contribute material. So not at all surprising and yet very disappointing.
I just happened to, speaking of things like that, though, I just happened to read a study where if you put the same test results in the hands of a white person or a person of color and then let the graders know, they always downgrade the person of color in like multiple surveys. Like they did it like across lots of schools, lots of regions, lots of physicalities. There's some reason you just can't not do it, it seems. And most especially on the list, it turns out white women grade people of color a lot worse. So
I've seen studies done about names as well. Like certain names sound pretty typical, like Sharon or Mary or whatever boring ass name, versus names that sound a little different. And so then people will mark down the names that are different, that sound in some way, you know, like different ethnically.
Well, yeah. I'm back on the,
that's why they say take names off of things.
Right.
Or have like assigned numbers and stuff like that to kind of remove that bias from the system.
Speaking of bias, Chip has a really good point, you know, Chip being funny and all, but this is a real true thing. So to experience the bias of AI, just listen to Pandora stations. The more data you feed it, the less variety you get. Like, it's really trying to nail you down to one specific thing. Heaven forbid you share an account with somebody.
Oh my God. It's the worst. So. I get such weird recommendations because my kids listen to video game music and stuff.
Right.
And so I get really crazy stuff. Oh, no. Chris's ad 6 times yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's Coach Woodard continues to believe that the more times we keep saying his name is Coach Woodard, he keeps getting more and more coaching ads just by audio.
Just because we say it?
Just because we say it out loud. It's not
typed anywhere. So if we make him person of the day and say we're going to send him a velvet smoking jacket, will he start to see ads for like smoking jackets and stuff?
Maybe true.
Let's do it.
All right. So we have a few more ads, but We have a few more articles, but I've got to do some ads. This is like day 33 of Alan Jackson telling me to fix this, and I haven't. StreamYard. Seabrogan.me/StreamYard. Just change the font, he says. Just
every
lower
time
it
I
an
see
inch
it, I'm like, just
says.
Lower it.
Just lower it a little bit.
Just a little.
Because I only think about it while I'm in the show, and when I'm out of the show, the last thing I'm doing is can't wait to make graphics for the show. Hey, audio podcast, this one made today's episode even weirder because we're showing graphics and you couldn't see them.
Apparently, we're doing really well in Egypt. That's
big in Egypt.
Our audio podcast.
Yeah. I said that to you. I'm some like number one in Egypt or something. No, not even number one, though. It's like number six or something. Castos.com is who hosts us there. And also the nice people at Radix gave us this site with the .online domain. So you can go to get.online and look around. You can get for 99 cents, go to cbrogan.me/online and type the code Chris, all caps. You get a domain for 99 cents.
First thing I did was look for your mom is .online and it was taken, but your mom's pics are .online. That is open.
Still available.
That's available. Yes.
Well, Elizabeth bought 2 .onlines as far as I understand. So.
Chip says people treat other people differently based on their names. Think Thurston and Bambi. And what do you conjure up? Nope. See, that's partly generational. If we asked Jacob that, I think he wouldn't have any answer.
Thurston and Bambi? Well, they might.
Gilligan's Island, right?
No. Well, Bambi isn't. But yeah, no, I get the concept. 4 domains. Jeez Louise. Stay back. But Chip's right. If I went by Charles instead of Chip. Hey, Linda, let's start the show over again. All right. Listen, talking about things like artificial intelligence and things that we feel like are the far future, I pulled this story out just because it's spooky. It's like a good X-Files-y creepy kind of story or like a Black Mirror kind of story. But last year, a whole bunch of drones buzzed a whole bunch of Navy ships and no one still knows where they came from a year later. Whole crap ton of, I mean, I'm going.
They had a year to figure that out and they're still like dirt.
Right. I'm going China on that one. But I guess it was off the California coast, 2019, and they still have no clue. They said they're aware of the sightings they reported. Wow. There have been other sightings, but we really haven't done anything. We're still not sure. Now, what people are trying to track this story as is like UFO stuff, but it's absolutely not.
Can't you figure it out? I mean, well, I guess if they had any pictures of them, they could figure out like if they were long range or something and try to figure out where they could have come from. I mean, they've had a year. Like, I feel like they could have figured it out.
I mean, what the heck? That's what I want to know.
Did you know the man who voiced Bambi became a Marine and lived in fear that people would discover his past? That he was Bambi?
That he created Bambi. Who did the voice of it?
No, I know, but like...
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he's a Marine. He's gonna be a tough dude. He can't be like the voice of, oh, where's Flower? Right? Like, that's not going to work out so well. We just saw a news story that came right after Easter because, you know, right now today you can go out and buy 50% off or more peeps. And the only thing better than a peep is a week old peep. Pepsi had a peep flavored Pepsi, by the way.
They get firmer as time goes on.
That's right. So there's evidently some people who have optioned to make a peeps movie. So it turns out, though, that Carrie had found out a while back that there already is a Peeps movie. So this is about 40 seconds long. Let's see if we get struck in for this.
They're microwaving these Peeps.
Yeah! Oh, the blue winning.
Jousting.
I'm not gonna.
That's
do
what
this
happens anymore. To peeps when you microwave them. I was actually just explaining that to my son, who loves the idea. So I was like, "Yeah, you get two peeps and you stuff like a toothpick in them, and you see who wins the battle in the microwave."
Do you know? I think you saw the same report that I did that said that the top 10 list of things that people want to be when they grow up. Number one is like a YouTuber influencer, and like in the top 10 is also like TikTok dancer and all these kinds of things.
So true.
Toy influencer, brand influencer.
Carl says only about 2/3 of peeps sold are actually eaten. I can totally believe it. And stale ones are the best.
They really are. How did that happen?
I don't know. Chip says, I take a lot of these national security denials with a grain of salt. If they know, they may prefer not to admit it since it would give away sources and methods. I guess.
I like that.
Yeah, because you want to believe that they know.
Yeah.
You know.
I still have my David Duchovny poster that says, I want to believe.
I need pictures of this. People peeps clothing? Peeps into clothing. A wolf in peeps clothing.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on.
That makes me want to quit. And do you want to know what else makes me want to quit?
Everything.
Most U.S. marketers are ready to quit in this last year, it says here in this report that you found.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? So 59% of marketers said that at some point in the past year, they wanted to quit. And I can't say I'm surprised because, you know, at sometimes, you know, unemployment benefits were actually, you know, extended. They were a little more than normal. I could see that being an attractive option when you're stressed to the max personally and professionally. And now the kids were all home, like homeschooling for the first time, and you couldn't leave your house. And it was, you know, you're under constant fear of death. It's a stressful time. So it's hard to be like, how many likes did we get on that Instagram post? Like, it's hard for that to feel significant in the middle of kind of like all this. So I guess I get it.
It was, I have a lot of thoughts on it.
I was interested to see if other industries were the same, but you go ahead.
Well, so I had a lot of thoughts on this one because I thought about the fact that if you think about it, there's a lot of things that happened this last year. One thing I like to tell people over and over again is that we got slapped up the face with, are we or aren't we online digitally? So companies who said they had a digital marketing footprint, who suddenly couldn't do trade shows, suddenly couldn't do in person, suddenly they're in this situation where their marketing doesn't count anymore. Like, we talked to Tad Geschichter, who runs a NASCAR car, and he was saying that one of his biggest customers is Kroger. Kroger, almost all of the products on Tad's car were super high volume sales during this thing. It was like toilet paper. Like, who needs to market toilet paper in the pandemic? Turns out nobody. All the like foods he had were like comfort food brands and all that. Kroger's like 300% up during the apocalypse. There was no marketer getting any marketing value. So no wonder they want to quit, you know?
Yeah. And the live events were obviously, attendance was impossible or way, way down. So you had that element too.
Oh, yeah, those kind of live events, like, you know, come meet a NASCAR driver or something.
Yeah, right.
But marketing conferences didn't exist. Trade shows didn't exist. So then virtual trade shows rolled out and everyone realized how little they knew. I'm surprised a lot of marketers didn't get fired before they could quit.
Well, I think a lot of people probably felt like at different times that they would like to quit or at least take a break. It was a lot. It was a lot to handle. So that's what I'm saying. I think it's probably universally true. I can't imagine accountants were like, do, just another day in the pandemic. Like, I'm sure they thought about it too. Everybody probably did. I don't know.
Right.
They should start live stream shows to stay motivated.
Well, that's how I did it. That's how I did it. Oh,
my
God.
You used to hum your way over from the kitchen.
I did. I was like, hey, you all want to watch me make some pot roast? And that was what I did. Yeah. So things to think about, by the way, you know, we have to all do these Zoom meetings and all that sort of a thing. I found an article on how to have more humanistic style interactions on meetings. And I thought most of these, I don't like most of the advice. So I, of course, naturally thought, let's share it. So Carrie, the first thing you could do to have, you know, a more natural conversation during the meetings is to take the meeting standing up, because no one sits when they talk.
No sitting.
No sitting when they talk. So that's number one. Number two on this is acknowledge all feedback. So someone says, Carrie, your hair looks weird today. Acknowledge it.
I'd say, F off. Right. I've acknowledged it.
Now, I don't know if you've been on a Zoom lately, but if you got to make sure you don't overdo those nonverbal gestures.
That is kind of funny. I mean, there's definitely people that go out of frame like with their gestures, but I've never thought to myself, they really need to pull it back, like throttle it back a little bit. If anything, it's kind of refreshing to see somebody right. with that kind of energy.
This is pretty much, this last one's like a polemic for why not to use Clubhouse. Make it engaging for all. You know, so if you do a Zoom meeting or something like that, then it's usually one person talking and a lot of people having to watch them talk. That's why we do a show like we do, so we can get more people talking. We get to interact with the conversation here.
I don't know that Clubhouse is great, though. I've heard people like talking over each other and it's just that's my battle point. For the mic. And
it's not engaging for all. You know, the point is, you know, they should pay attention to this. Carrie, the other one says maintain eye contact. So really ought to be very good at eye contact at this point.
How long can you go without blinking?
Not as best as I want to. Always come prepared. Come on.
I want the Chris Brogan version of these suggestions. You are great at human.
Come prepared. You know what? I'll tell you how to come prepared. Winnie the Pooh it. Have a ball. Who's going to know?
As long as you don't have to like jump up to get the door or something.
That's right. Hey, look, I even have a plan for that. I have a diagonal that I can get on here. Set the stage. The webcam is a view into your world. You got to make sure that you get the background set up the right. Leave some time for others to share, Carrie.
What?
I don't know. It just says it. Look alive.
I leave time for lots of others to share. I book two guests a show usually.
Let them see your natural cues, but not too many cues.
Yeah, that was weird. Like, don't be so, you know, enthusiastic that your gestures are too big.
Know your material. See, like these ones at the end feel like the person who's writing this article just kind of ran out of steam.
Leverage. I love the word leverage in that context. Leverage the raise your hand feature. I just like go get a lever and stick it under something and start to push until
Archimedes
hand goes up.
Show me a what's it? Show me a
not a. Oh, give me a big enough lever and I can move the world.
Move the world. That's the one. So, you know, that's a goodie. So people who get my newsletter will know that this last Sunday I griped about avocado toast at Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, let's see. Carl says, be authentic, own your faults, be inclusive, and don't be a jerk or talk over others.
Unless you can't help it. And in that case, probably just stay offline altogether.
Oh, for gosh sake, stop talking. Let the woman speak.
Yep.
Or just get
Need
one
those
of those.
For Zoom.
Get one of those made. So last Sunday I yelled at Dunkin' Donuts.
You were super
Donuts.
Salty.
For having avocado that. Toast. And only one person came back and said, I like their avocado toast. You know who it was? Steve Garfield from SteveGarfield.com.
Because he goes to Dunkin' all the time, happens to like avocado toast, and will give anything a whirl. He's like super laid back.
He's an unapologetic avocado toast lover. And
have you tried it? Because I don't think you have.
No, of course I haven't.
Maybe it's great. You don't know.
Not
just saying.
So anyway, I pooped on that. And I also just read a bunch of articles about how McDonald's is going through an interesting challenge, although they just also had the highest grossing last 5 years, like in the history of the company. So they're doing way better than any other retailer in the last 5 years and are saying, we think we lost our culture. So you brought us a story about, have a good meeting. You brought us a story about Tim Hortons. You said they're putting millions.
I said.
To supercharge their marketing is what you told people.
I did not, but I will now. So apparently since the acquisition in 2014 where they joined Burger King, things have not been going as well as they had hoped. And so now they're going to start pouring a lot of money into marketing in an effort to bring things back up. Where's all our Canadians that could tell us Tim Hortons is just fine. They don't need any help.
You know who stopped going to Tim Hortons is every Canadian we know. So they are protesting it because it's owned like by the restaurant group that I think owns a Wendy's or something like that.
Burger King.
Sorry. So system sales
declined. I literally
just
said it, Chris. No,
I wasn't listening to you. I couldn't get the screen to move. System sales declined 18%.
Yeah.
That's pretty big. 1 in 5. So it's replaced its executive team, which by the way, nothing tells you things are going to go great by just like randomly replacing your executive team with no real story in mind.
You know what they need? They need to get some avocado toast.
They do. Or listen, here's one for you. If it's not going fast enough and not people are coming to get what you have to offer, you could always Oh, I see what's going to happen here. You can always do a giveaway for COVID-19 vaccine.
Oh, stop it. Are you serious? So here's the time I think it would make sense. If you run an airline, you could be like, book a ticket and we'll vaccinate you, you know, 2 weeks before you fly or a month before you fly. That'd be pretty freaking smart, right? Because it'd be good for everybody involved. They're not doing that. Instead, their marketers are doing giveaways for people.
Show us your vaccine card and we'll give you a donut, says Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. So here's the other problem. Now there's a lot of talk about creating like a passport. That's the word they're using. It's a little bit inept of a word for that. It doesn't exactly fit. But it's like, I've been vaccinated, therefore I should get access to these things that would be risky if I wasn't. And the problem is that rich countries are so far ahead of the game in vaccinations as opposed to poorer countries. And so, like, once again, we're going to start jumpstarting everything to the disadvantage of poorer nations because we get vaccines first. So now we're going to start giving preferential treatment to vaccine recipients. In effect, we're giving preferential treatment to wealthier nations.
All right.
Now marketers are doing it too. Damn marketers.
Because marketers, this is why we can't have good things. Listen, I have to say something here. My just jumped off my spiritual Tuesday morning discussion group, catching up. Yeah, we're just covering the news today, Kate. So it's not a bad episode to miss. My dad points out that he and mom have avocado toast at least once a week. However, do you have it at Dunkin' Donuts?
No, well, you can.
You can. But if who you want would?
To, they who might would? Try it.
Look, my parents like Jack in the Box too. You know what you get at Jack in the Box? Not avocado toast. They should. Jack in the Box probably has 99-cent avocado pits, deep fried.
What if they change their mind because their audience changes what they want?
But the audience wants avocado toast, maybe, but not Dunkin's audience. That's what I gotta say. They're bad people.
Dunkin's. Maybe they're trying to penetrate more of a millennial market.
Maybe.
Maybe Dunkin' feels like too much of an old brand or something.
You know, I think so, but I think there's a value to that for, you know, marketed well. I think that there's a kind of people. Lizzie says I'm particular, so I'm not going to go to Dunkin' Donuts. Or I'm not
particular
sure
about her avocado toast. She does like avocado toast. Mm. You know what?
She's Gen X though. She's not even.
You can but try, Leslie. Mm. Hey, don't out her.
Mm. I'm outing her.
She can be pretend millennial if she wants.
Do you know how old I'm going to be on Thursday?
No.
51. I'm going to be a half a dollar and then an extra penny.
Happy birthday. Would you like a coupon for avocado toast?
I would like a coupon for Johnsonville sausages, but where would I get one? How would I even get a sausage? My sausage heart, be still.
No, you'd have to tell me what you want, and it would have to be something they carry, because I could send you coupons for sausage strips, but you're not going to be able to get them at your little local supermarket.
I know. Those had to come in a specially cryogenically sealed something or other.
Yeah, I know. It's so true.
It is. So I'm young. I am, Marion. I am a young old man on my lawn saying, get off.
Oh, you are so grumpy.
D&D isn't in the health food market? Yes, which I think is where avocado fans live.
Everybody, like McDonald's has salads. Everybody's tried to be a little bit. I used to work at a bakery from when I was like 13 until I was in my 20s. I worked every summer at a bakery. And I remember this one woman coming in because we had leftover dough one day and we made little triangles of fried dough like you would find at a carnival. And she's like, fried dough? I would never eat fried dough. And I was like, everything in this case is fried. What are you talking about?
Right.
Everything. I didn't say that. I was like, mm-hmm. And she got, I didn't say a thing when she got a couple donuts, which are fried dough, by the way, just circular.
Silly humans. McDonald's has offered so many types of salad, you wouldn't believe it, but I got to tell you something, no one ever buys it because, you know, who goes to McDonald's? People who don't really feel like they're in the mood for a salad right now. That's who goes to McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, when I go there, I either want iced coffee or sometimes I just want a big fat gooey burger. And then I'm going to eat something a lot more healthy the rest of the day. But boy, I just want a gooey, yucky burger that's going to be delicious.
I go for their shakes right at St. Patrick's Day when they do the that one, the Shamrock Shake.
The Shamrock Shake. I couldn't think of his name.
The only thing I really like.
I was like Frosty McGonagall. No, is that it?
That's definitely no.
What do they call that shake? So.
Well, we can definitely rule out a career in news broadcasting.
Oh, see, now listen, Dad's pointing out that Jack in the Box offers tiny tacos with avocado sauce. Avocado sauce, by the way, I just want to.
Avocado should also be in quotes, probably.
Yes.
Avocado flavored.
But it'd I love
in the supermarket when you buy like cheese food.
Cheese food.
And it's not really cheese.
Cheese food product.
They can't legally call it cheese.
Right. I think Kraft dinner is like that. I think you can't say that about Kraft mac and cheese. That's to say cheese food product.
Yes. And I will still eat it.
So this was our news, right? Like, we covered it all.
This is just the stuff that caught our eye while we were looking at the Google News and stuff.
So today at 8 p.m., tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern time, which is way too late for all our Europeans, except for Chloe, who's up in the middle of the night like a vampire. We have this lovely, lovely lady, Sonia Renee Taylor, who her whole book is all about acceptance. She's an activist. Radical she's a poet. Radical self-love. We're going to cover some stuff in the old BPSAD.
She is West Coast, so it was really difficult to impossible to get her on this show. And so we booked her for After Dark.
Hey, did you know we had an entirely different theme for Backpack Show After Dark?
It's not after dark.
We even have some new branding that's going to come up for Backpack Show After Dark.
Guests of the show stay at the inconveniently located from downtown or anywhere, never to be confused with luxurious and never updated FDR Hotel, located somewhere off Highway 84 near an old gas station with a burned out van parked out front with a for sale sign.
Putting the F in accommodations.
Hey, stream away, Jacob. What are you playing today, by the way? I do love that theme so much, Chip. It makes me feel so cheery.
Well, thanks for playing with us. I know it's been a different couple of days on the Backpack Show.
Yeah. But
starting tonight, guests are back.
You know who loved guests?
Your grandmother.
My grandmother.